What validates that what we believe is true? It's for every Christian. What proves that what we believe is true? This is a good question. I read it with John Smith. He's the one who actually wrote this. Is it because this is what our ancestors have always believed?
Nope.
What? It's food for thought. Is it because this is what all the groups around us, what everybody else believes right now? Mm-hmm. It depends on the person. Is it because this is what people voted on? The quote-unquote church fathers, they voted on some things. That's what makes it. Or all these answers, which should be, this should be for all of us, with everything that we believe. Everything, challenging. Or is it, what it should be, like what Jesus Christ said. It is written. And every time he said it is written, apparently he was separating himself from everybody else. John 6:66. Remember 666? Is when everybody left Jesus Christ. And he kept saying, I only say what my Father says. And every once in a while, people are going to leave us. But the question is, what validates what we believe is true? Is it the multitudes? Or is it what is written? And so that is the introduction to the teaching. Now the actual teaching is witnessing and demonstrations of power. Exodus page 88. Exodus the 4th chapter, page 88. Here's a verse 29. So Moses and Aaron, or Aharon, went their way and gathered together all the elders of the sons of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which Yahweh had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs before the eyes of the people. And the people believed.
Yeah.
They believed. Now, what kind of people are these? You keep reading in Exodus? Are these people that are devout followers of Yahweh?
No.
No, they're actually very wicked, a lot of them. Do they have a lot of foreign gods? Absolutely. What kind of people is this? These are wicked people. A lot of them, not all of them. That's why they wandered 40 years in the wilderness. But you can imagine, here's Moses goes and speaks Yahweh's word. He didn't have the written word, but we do. And what was the second thing he did?
Signs.
Power. Power. It's the word, then power. And what happened is, this is a lot like Melania's teaching last week. This is like Jonah. Who would have saw that coming? Can you imagine Moses going, they're not going to want just one God. In his mind, possibly. I know these people. They love all their gods. They get to do whatever they want. And you choose your God, I choose my God. You leave my God alone, leave yours alone. Here's all this polytheism. But can you imagine even Moses and Aaron going, they want it. Can you believe that? Now, that was just the beginning. But in that name, just like Jonah, the word and the power. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, page 167. And I'll do the reading tonight, guys. My help me. Standpoint. I said 1 Corinthians. I say the 2nd chapter. It's right before 3rd Corinthians.
I heard it.
Okay, 167 in the Rotherham. Verse 4, here's the Apostle Paul. As Yahweh speaking through the Apostle Paul. Have you ever said, have you ever been witnessing and all of a sudden incredible words came out that were incredibly accurate too? And we're back and we're like, oh! This happened a lot with, it happens a lot with anybody who's witnessing for Yahweh. You get the words going, and guess what? He takes the stage. Da-da-da! You imagine Apostle Paul going, man, I didn't know that was coming out of my mouth. Moses did the same thing. Anybody who walks by faith, a lot of times you don't even know what you're going to be saying. And also you should just start witnessing. You got to help somebody, give them a pep talk, and all of a sudden, incredible analogies and stuff. Now here's the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church. Verse 4. And my discourse and what I proclaimed were not in suasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of ruah, spirit, and power. The word power is mighty works. Verse 5. In order that your faith might not be in...
Man's.
A pause for emphasis. Men's wisdom. Church fathers, denominations, the multitudes. But in God's power. This is very similar to Moses. Moses brought the word. And then what did he bring with power? Or with the word? Power. Man, just stole my old punchline. They come together. It's a 1-2 punch. And a lot of times, what I believe with this, what is the most powerful thing we have? We're supposed to memorize this thing. Memorize it. And if you can't memorize it, if you don't have a whole lot of scriptures in there, what do you got? Like what Elijah's teaching, he went, what do you got? What do you got? How many fish?
2 fish and 5 loaves.
Okay, that's what I got. Okay, so what do you got? Everybody that's a Christian has a testimony. Either they've experienced or they know. Just get going. But usually we want the word. But when we witness and we share scriptures, we walk out in faith, because we're usually never going to have the whole story. That's not how he works. He just gets things started. But when we do walk out in faith and share scripture, guess who shows up? Yahweh does. He does show up. And he walks in and boom! I'm the guy! I'm the dad! Come here, kids! And he shows up. So Paul, what he did is he came in and wasn't he was the smartest and he wasn't winning word battles and arguments. He shared the scriptures and then he demonstrated power. And he backed it up. This is the world's most accurate English translation Bible. Do you know what probably really irritates people about a statement like that? Is I want to back it up. They don't want to back theirs up. Back it up. And Jesus Christ did the same thing. You don't believe I'm the Messiah? Check this out. Bam! Oh my goodness! And even Nicodemus goes, nobody can do what you just did. And during Jesus Christ's time, do you know what they valued above the Word? Their traditions and their doctrines. They came to Jesus Christ and said, why do you transgress our traditions? He goes, why do you transgress my Father's word? The same thing. It's over and over again. But this is not an end result for any of us. It's a work. Why do we believe this? Why do we believe this? Why do we believe that? Why do we believe that? And start looking and searching. This is a treasure map, and our Father does not give us all the answers. And He's always asking us to go. And then He'll show up. But when we witness to somebody, the scripture or a testimony, whatever you got, use what you got. Then demonstrate power. That's the next thing. I think a lot of us, we'll do a lot of words. It could even be an argument possibly, but they don't want it. But if we don't pack wisdom with power, sometimes it doesn't work. Anybody here ever witnessed to somebody and they're kind of like, tomato, tomato. They got theirs, I got mine. But what do we know? If you are speaking truth and accuracy according to our Father's word, guess who's inside that Christian testifying? He's going, amen. Amen. Are you sharp? Who is that? Who is that? I think it was Inner Space. You guys seen Inner Space? What was that guy's name? He gets shrunk and it gets injected, and there's a little scientist that's inside of his head. He goes, I'm possessed! It's hilarious. I don't remember. It's the same guy from Three Fugitives. He's really
short.
Martin Short. He goes, I'm possessed! Because there's a voice. But if you witness and your accuracy and your story, which is not easy for me to say accurate because I'm a storyteller, I like to embellish. As long as I'm being accurate, he'll come in there, he'll testify like a tune for it. Amen. And all of a sudden they're going, whoa, what is this? Why doesn't anybody say Yahweh's name? I don't know. Traditions, whatever. He says, blessed be the name of Yahweh. Are you embarrassed? Yeah. Actually, I get embarrassed a lot. And then the person that saw me goes, if you witness to somebody, he will sustain it. He'll get the conversation going. But that's not enough, in my opinion. And what I'm going to suggest is for all of us, that gets the ball rolling. It reminds me of the warm-up band. A band shows up, you're like, I don't even know, who is this band? I don't know, I'm here to see Perry. I'm here to see Fleetwood Mac. Or I'm here to see, and who is this band? I never heard of them. All of a sudden they get things going, get things warmed up. Then all of a sudden the curtains open up. There he is, it's Brad Paisley, and everybody is ready. And I believe when we start witnessing, it opens it up for the demonstration of power. Oh, yeah. If we're being accurate. turn to John, page 92, the Gospel called John. John, the first chapter, 92. I forgot the guy's name. I'll come back to that guy. Verse 44. I love this. This was a Daniel. It was Jesus Christ teaching by John Lennon. He goes, 1:44. Now Philip was in Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, it's his brother. His brother goes, we found the Messiah. Here's Nathanael going, man, it's been like 2,000 years of people saying they found the Messiah. And here he is. I wonder if Nathanael, and Nathanael's a brother too, so you can imagine, like, yeah, whatever. Come and meet him. What do you got to lose? The first thing, I forgot to say, we found the Messiah. Verse 44, Nathanael saith unto him, verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael, saith unto him, him whom wrote Moses in the law, of whom Moses wrote in the law, and the prophets have we found, Yehoshua, son of Joseph, him from Nazareth. He first did the word. Here's the scriptures. And Nathanael said unto him, out of Nazareth, can any good thing come? Philip saith unto him, come and see. What do you got to lose? Right? It's not Amway. It's not telemarketing. It's not a sales pitch. It could have been. Yehoshua, he said, leave your credit card at home. Leave your wallet at home. Just come check this guy out. What do you got to lose? And Yehoshua saw Nathanael coming unto him and saith concerning him, see, truly, an Israelite in whom is no guile. When Peter saw Jesus Christ, you guys ever been around light? The first time you're around incredible light, you feel kind of guilty. Oh man, I hope he didn't talk to me. I got some issues. Yeah, Peter did too. Peter said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful guy. What did Nathanael do to this? Nathanael said unto him, whence dost thou know me? Nathanael didn't argue with him. Nathanael goes, how do you know me? It's like he knew about him. What is that, guys? It's a demonstration of power. Nathanael heard the word first. And Yehoshua answered and said unto him, before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Ooh, goosebumps. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of Yahweh. Thou art King of Israel. What happened under the fig tree? We don't know. Our father never told us. There's going to be a lot of people going, hey, Nathanael, I've been waiting to see you. What happened under the fig tree? That's a prophecy. That's a prophecy. What happened right after they gave the demonstration of power? Nathanael had the word. And then Jesus Christ came in. Boom! The power. And it was actually Yahweh through his son. I know how to get Nathanael's attention. You got the word there. That's good. That's good. Now let me in. And he steps in. Dun, dun, dun. And here's Nathanael. Goes, this is it. This is just like Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. What happened after Daniel did the dream? Nebuchadnezzar was going, holy moly! The creator of the universe lives inside you. What happened with Joseph and Pharaoh? It's the same thing. Daniel and Joseph did the same thing. And what they did is they just gave everybody an introduction to the creator of the universe who lives inside them. Daniel goes, I don't know these things, but the God whom I serve, the Elohim who I serve, here you go, are you ready? Drum roll please, here we go, he knows. And then what did Yahweh do? And Yahweh went boom, 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 boom. Did Daniel or Joseph know the explanation to the dreams before this? No. And our Father's not going to give you the explanation either. You just got to get started. If you want him to show up, you got to start talking. We'll turn to 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians. And I got cash prizes today. Yes, cash.
1 Corinthians chapter what?
14, page 92. Alright, no, that's not page 92. It's going to be like 178. Power chapter, the 14th chapter, the power chapter. Want to know what you got? You got Iron Man's little circle thing in your chest, but you want to know about it? What can this sucker do? Here's your power. You got something more powerful than that? Are we supposed to feed the hungry? Could be. They're working. They're helpless. We're supposed to feed them?
Yes.
Are we supposed to clothe our brethren? Are we supposed to heal the sick?
Mm-hmm.
Are we commanded to be zealous to heal the sick?
I don't think so.
No. Or covet. Does it say covet to honor your mother and your father? No. How about the homeless or the hungry? How about the widows and the fatherless? Does he say covet to take care of them? Verse 39, the 14th chapter. Elijah, why don't you read that? Page 178.
And Moses spake these words.
No, 1 Corinthians.
Oh,
okay, go ahead, Mel.
So then, my brethren, be zealous to prophesy, and do not forbid to be speaking with tongues.
What is prophecy, and what is speaking in tongues? It's the messenger getting out of the way for the message. Or it's the UPS guy or the FedEx guy showing up, I got a package for you. And you're like, that's nice. I'm going to open my box. You ever had that? You get a box? I've got to deliver things. And they're like, that's real nice. And they turn around and walk off. They're first excited to see me. But it's the same thing. Demonstration of a power. Mighty works is prophecy and speaking in tongues. Because it says right over here, how do you know if somebody's saved or not saved? Well, men's doctrine, what they voted on, is that this what this denomination says, and some people got it, some people don't have it. But it says in verse 22 and 14, so that the tongues are for a sign. How many members of the body of Christ that have that sign? All of them. How many of them demonstrate that power?
Nothing.
Very little. Very little. So we're blessed. And so in this group, in this Telios ministry, we're advanced, but we are far from meeting the mark of what could be available. Speaking in tongues is a sign. You want to see somebody saved? They're saved right there. You got the sign. But then the prophecy. How important is it for prophecy? Because it didn't say covet or be zealous to speak in tongues, did it?
No.
No, it didn't. It said be zealous to prophesy. Because if there's anybody that wants to talk to that person that you are called to lead, the witness to, guess who it is?
Father.
It's their father. And a lot of those people inside their heart, all they just want to know. For good people. Now there's wicked people out there too. But even for the wicked person, he's got a message for them too. Could be. Now I'm not a prophet. It does say prophecy, if you're not a prophet, it's for exhortation, comfort, and edification. Build these people up. And it's like a kid that went off to college, the prodigal son. Just ran away from the parents, afraid to go back. And here's the father who goes, I want to talk to my kid. Well, that might make him really uncomfortable. I don't give a... You just trust me. You let me... Well, I'm not going to give him the phone because I don't like the way you talk to people. We do that. You go to witness to somebody. Is what I'm suggesting for people, for demonstrations of power. And it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not necessarily even about them. The reason why we go witness is about him. And he's got something to deliver to the people. What does he not have? How many people covet to prophesy? How many people will deliver his mail?
Not enough.
Going to go. What does that make us? Valuable! Who will deliver mail? Well, my pastor says you can't prophesy. Well, you got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've been waiting for that for years and years. And what are the odds? Nobody will deliver the message. Yahweh's mail. Or is that Yahweh and Jesus Christ? Now here's Jesus Christ is running all this stuff. Who will go? Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? Well, nobody will even open the email. They don't believe they had the gift of email. But here it is. So you go on, you witness. You won't know what to say. You look at that person. Yeah? I'll wrap it up. You look at that person. He's telling you who to go talk to. It's already on your heart. You got the memo. And then you go talk. What do you talk about? I don't know what to talk about. Hey, nice shoes. You like the Denver Broncos? I like Denver Broncos. And you get started. Once you get started, guess who shows up? Go into a witness. Start witnessing them about a testimony. And when you give a testimony, you get done witnessing to them. Say, hey, you know, thank you so much for listening to me. Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior, and my Father Yahweh, His Heavenly Father. is my whole universe, and you let me witness to it. Thank you. And they go, oh, yeah, whatever, dude. And you go, would it be okay if we just, if I had a prayer real quick? They could say no, right? You want to say most of the time? Sure. Then you go into the prayer. Did Jesus Christ tell Nathanael what he was going to do? No. Did Jesus Christ ask Nathanael, do you want a message from the Creator? Not necessarily. He could have. He put his arm around him and said, start praying. Thank you, Father, for this guy, Colby White or Joe Smith. We thank you, Father, for Billy Rincon. We thank you, Father, for Daniel Burke. I thank you that you introduced us, and this could be me. There's somebody that's watching right now, his arms wrapped around you, or watching in secret because you're afraid of the doctrines of men and about people abandoning you. And he says, never be worried about what people are going to say about you, because they will always abandon you. They'll say one thing, but look at your past. You know a tree by its fruit. They will always abandon you. But I, your heavenly Father, gave his only begotten Son, who died the death of the cross, so that I could speak to you the way I am speaking now. I am your Father, and I prepare a future for you that nobody could imagine. Because I know the desires of your heart, and even more than that, I put those desires in your heart, and I put desires that nobody can fulfill except for me. So come with me on the greatest adventure you ever even imagined. Because there is no real satisfaction unless you come to him who designed the satisfaction, specifically your satisfaction. Because your satisfaction is like none of my children. And I give everybody their own sense of satisfaction, much like taste. Everybody's got different tastes. Satisfaction is a real thing. And I am the only one to that key, so come with me. You open your eyes, you look at them, they usually got eyes this big. Sometimes they're crying. Sometimes they're weeping. Other times they walk off, they freak out. I've done it many times. I had somebody do it to me. And you sit there and, oh man, maybe I missed it. No. It didn't matter. Even if you said something wrong, who lives inside of them? Have you ever had a prophecy? You know what is right and what is wrong. You go, I don't know about this, I don't know about this, but that's true. Then other people go, what did that guy just do to you? He just started praying. Yeah, that was a powerful prayer. But then you get their attention, the demonstration of mighty works, and they go, you just made a prisoner cry inside of a penitentiary. I got to do that because of my Father. Here I was in Hutch Correctional Facility. My dad goes, Aaron, why don't you come pray for this guy? Brilliant! My Father took me into Hutch Prison with all these people there, and Yahweh goes, I want to do a demonstration of power. He goes, Chuck, get Aaron over here. I'm like, bebopping along, and Yahweh gave me, and are you going to make somebody fall to their knees? Would Joseph or Daniel, not Daniel, but or Nebuchadnezzar fall to their knees because somebody's really smart? How about Nathaniel? But there is desires inside their heart. And because my Father introduced me to that guy, I said, okay, can I touch him? I don't know what this guy's in prison for. It might have been because somebody touched him. He goes, go ahead. I touched him, and then Yahweh gave him a prophecy. You know what Yahweh told this guy in Hutchinson Prison? This guy had been in for 9 years. He wasn't getting out for 9 years. He had two kids that are about 1 to 2 years old running around there. He hadn't even seen them. His other kids are in high school. I don't know these things, necessarily what Yahweh's going to do. So I started praying. A little uncomfortable. I can imagine myself getting pinned against the wall. He touched me. Yahweh says, I live inside you and I live inside your kids. Your relationship with your kids and with you getting to tell them how righteous and the good things you do does not have to wait for 9 years when you come out. Because every time you do something that's right, I testify to your kids on the outside. I'm on the outside. And I tell them, your dad's doing what is right. And each day you give it to me. You don't have to wait for 9 years to get out. You get out right now because I'm connected. And Yahweh and Jesus Christ says, every time you do what's right, I brag to your kids whether they say it or not. And let that be. So keep doing it. And increase things. And get going. And do these things. Because everything you're doing right now is on a big screen with your kid's heart. So do it. And I got done. I'm like, man, that was pretty neat. I looked up and here's this criminal doing his time. He's got 9 years left and his eyes are full, all teared up. And I walked off and I went, whoa, that was cool. All you got to do is know the guy to introduce him to. And what did Yahweh do? Who knows? And that's what we're all supposed to do. Share the word, then demonstration of power. And if you don't have the word, you can use stories. You'll use whatever you got. So you go, all of us already have it. You know you're supposed to go witness to somebody. You go, I don't know how to get started. I don't have a Bible. I don't know that scripture. I need to call my dad. Or I need to call my husband. Or I need to call my mom. No. What do you got? Well, I don't know. Tell them about your buck.
Don't put your hands.
Tell them about your story. Mm-hmm. Tell them about your dad. Tell them about your daughters. Tell them about your son. Tell them about your brother. Tell them about your neighbor. Or tell them about me. And once you get those things going, I'll come over with the demonstration of power. And that will be what they really need. Me, Yahweh, through Jesus Christ. What makes what you believe authentic? Is it because everybody around you, and you have more numbers than anybody else?
Nope.
Is it because people voted on it? They call it quote-unquote church fathers. They voted. This is how we're going to believe. All fair? All right. Is it because that's what you want to believe? Oh man, I'm guilty of that. Ouch! Or is it because that's what your father has already written? So that's it. We'll hear from our Heavenly Father now with demonstration of power. Anybody who's watching right now, if you are humble, Yahweh does not necessarily come down to the heavenlies to come talk to you if you are not humble. You think you're going to get anything from Him going like this? Yeah, what you got? You might get a little bit. You might get a little bit. But if you're going before Jesus Christ, or the creator of the universe who spoke out the Milky Way and the 200 to 500 billion galaxies, do you know how long it would take us to go from the Milky Way, our galaxy, at the speed of light? That's 6 million miles an hour. 100,000 years. That came out of His mouth. You want to hear from Him? I bet you if Donald Trump was calling you on the phone, you might hold the rest of the calls. You might go outside. I got to hear this. Ooh, you're very obnoxious, Mr. Trump. Well, we're not going to hear from them. So if you humble your heart, if you circumcise your heart, Yahweh says that in Romans. What does He want? This thing right here. That's all He wants. If you circumcise your heart, you'll get to see real demonstrations of power. And that's why I believe Nathaniel got that.